Can you imagine trafficking your children for someone's pleasure? I don't think I could ever have imagined such a horrible thought until a few years ago. Yes, I knew about human trafficking and the exploitation of children, but it was always abstract, always something some monstrous person did to someone else's children. Never would I have dreamed a mother or father would offer their child to a family friend. One of the first funerals I performed in Traverse City was for a wealthy, politically connected family. In the 60s and 70s, they would have frequent gatherings in their home with other rich, politically connected people, some whose names you would recognize even today. It was customary at these gatherings that at least one of their children, maybe more, would be made available to some of the guests. I'm not sure how many of their children were abused this way. They didn't all agree, which isn't unexpected with this type of childhood trauma. They may not all remember, but I was informed by several family members that these events occurred. Years later, as adult children, they were dealing with the devastating effects on their families. They will spend the rest of their lives seeking healing. If you had attended Mom's memorial service, you wouldn't have had a clue of this family's pain. I did speak of the secret sins of our hearts and the transgressions of which we aren't even aware. This was an intentional, albeit vague, reference for the sake of the children and grandchildren. But we also spoke of her Christian faith and her commitment to Christ's church. Thankfully, I was unavailable to do Dad's service when the time came. The mendacity was too much for me. It would be easy to start drawing connections between this family and our gospel reading from Mark. Like Herod and Herodias, this couple was consumed by their power and privilege. They were part of an elite, wealthy, and politically connected culture that lived by its own twisted and wicked rules. They willfully disobeyed God's will in the abuse of their children. They would do anything, even exploit their children, to pursue their personal desires. Drawing connections between this family and our gospel reading from Mark would be too easy, and we'd miss Mark's point. Many of our older members would have known this couple. Some maybe even attended their parties. I pray none of our people knew what was happening to the children. But in a town as small as Traverse City at the time, some people must have known. Yet as easy as it would be, vilifying this couple and their friends isn't the point of our gospel reading. God will judge them. Mark's concern is with the high cost of power and privilege, which can lead to the consumption of our souls, and the danger in speaking truth to such power. Here is where Mark speaks to me, and perhaps you as well. As Jill shared this morning, we make choices every day. Even when we know what is right, even when we see the choice God wants us to make, we sometimes get it wrong. Making the right choices, being the people God wants us to be, is hard. Making the right choices requires courage, character, accountability, and faith. looking back, there are a couple of things I wish I had done differently with this family. I wish I'd had the courage to create an opportunity to acknowledge the sins of the parents publicly and seek forgiveness. Even a posthumous acknowledgement on behalf of the children might have brought some healing. I also wish I had led our session differently. Part of why I made the pastoral choices I made was because I knew the church was in line to receive a substantial gift from their estate, a gift we needed. The last thing I wanted was to say or do something that might jeopardize their gift. So I played it safe. Mom and Dad took their secrets to their graves. The family continues to deal with the consequences of their childhood trauma. The church got its money. These are the high costs of power and privilege. What if I dared to speak the truth to power? To hold the parents accountable? To seek healing for their family? To say to the session, we shouldn't accept this gift. But if we do, we should use it to address the abuse and exploitation of children. The cost is still high, but I wouldn't have this hole in my soul. This is the high cost of power and privilege. We sell our souls to keep our power and sustain our privileged way of life. We make the wrong choices, living life by our twisted and wicked rules rather than the will of God. Herod and Herodias were monsters. John died a gruesome death. But they aren't why Mark tells the story. As he does so often, Mark gives his readers, Mark gives us a choice. Who are we created to be? How will we live our lives? What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? Jesus, at this point, has become a celebrity. He's feeding people by the thousands. They can't get enough of his preaching. He's healing people, casting out demons, calming storms. He even raised a little girl from the dead. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how the crowds had become so great, Jesus couldn't even eat in peace. To take some of the pressure off, Jesus commissions the disciples to carry his work into the villages, preaching and teaching, exorcising demons, healing and feeding people. They've done a tremendous job. Before they could come back and report on their success, Mark interrupts with Herod and his murder of John the Baptist. Herod Antipas, a son of Herod the Great, was a puppet king and a weak, despicable man. So when he heard of Jesus' popularity, he was haunted by the prospect that perhaps Jesus was John the Baptist returned from the dead. You see, John the Baptist spoke truth to power. He challenged Herod's power and privilege. Herod willfully ignored God's law when he married Herodias, his half-brother's ex-wife. When John calls Herod and Herodias out for their sin, Herod has John arrested. John's arrest is as far as Herod dares to go, though, because Herod believes John is a righteous and holy man and fears the consequences if anything should happen to John. Not satisfied with John's arrest, Herodias manipulates her husband and daughter. Unseemly pleased by his stepdaughter's dancing, Herod's reckless arrogance, a fruit of his power and privilege, gets the better of him. Seeking to impress his guests, Herod offers her anything she desires, up to half his kingdom. When at the urging of her mother, she asks for the head of John the Baptist, Herod must choose, keep his promise, or kill a righteous man. This is the high cost of power and privilege. Herod sells his soul, killing a man he knows is righteous and holy, to preserve his perverted sense of honor and keep his arrogant promise. John dies a horrific and unnecessary death so Herod can save face. No wonder Herod is haunted by Jesus. No wonder Mark tells this tragic story at the height of the disciples' success. Much is at stake in the life choices we make. Beloved, this is the high cost of power and privilege. When we choose corruption and pride, power and privilege over justice and peace, repentance and health, when we exchange truth for a lie, innocent people die. We saw this on January 6th. Last week, Jordan preached an excellent sermon on repentance. Having seen the hurt some good church folk can bring, and having wrestled with the demons in my own life, I'm a little more at home with Calvin's doctrine of depravity. But Jordan's point about our baptism and the grace we've been given to become the people God created us to be is well taken. But it begs the question, having been baptized, why are we still stuck in the mud? Why is repentance so hard? Why do we choose depravity over grace? Our reading from Amos, which I selected instead of the lectionary readings for this week, offers us understanding, if not answers. Amaziah, the priest at Bethel, complains to King Jeroboam about Amos's prophecy. What's interesting is he doesn't question Amos's authority. He doesn't say Amos is wrong. Amaziah says the land, the nation, the people can't bear his words. The implication isn't that the people are innocent. The implication is they can't bear to hear the truth. Their guilt and fragility are so great, they can't bear to listen. If they listen to the truth, they will have to change. Could this be the root of our cultural conflict? Could this be why conversations around systemic racism, white privilege, equality, nationalism, and gender identity are so hard? Could this be why we've exchanged the truth for a lie as a nation? Could this be why we choose depravity over grace. Is the truth too hard for us to bear? Beloved, that is the high cost of power and privilege. We can't bear to hear the truth. Perhaps the time has come for us to listen to the truth and live. Thanks be to God.